Okay. Story County Board of County Commissioners meeting is going to reconvene. I'm going to back up and I'm going to reopen item number 7. This discussion only. We'll take no action, public comment. These are on committee and staff reports. Marilyn Miller, you had something to add to your report today.
Marilyn Miller, Lockwood. I was so excited over getting the cabinets in the kitchen area. I forgot to bring up a thank you to Mr. Gilman for keeping such close track of us there and for always attending our meetings, knowing what we're looking for, and being right there with us to get a lot of this stuff done. Wanted to thank you personally. And I also had another event coming up, I forgot, which is extremely important. It's Christmas, because she asked me if it was Thanksgiving or Christmas. We have a parade of lights coming up on the 23rd at 5 o'clock in the evening, meeting at the Community Senior Center. That's our go-to building in that area. We have just about 30 people signed up to bring their quads fully decorated to begin this parade through the community. And we're going to end there with refreshments, cookies, hot chocolate, coffee, when we're done. So anybody would like to come by and just watch us parade down the area, you're sure welcome. And I, again, Lance, I would like to thank you for your involvement in our community center. Thank you.
Thank you, Marilyn.
Mr. Chairman, if I could just say to the public that when we get to item 19 on our agenda, there is a staff addendum that is out by the door that you may want to pick it up, because that'll be what we're working from on the basis of the Planning Commission last week.
Pretty good. Okay, at this time we're going to move on to item number 12. This is discussion and possible action. This is consideration of and possible action. Consideration of and possible action to approve Resolution 16-451 advising rural development of counties resolved to defend or obtain title to location of rights of way for county sewer lines in Virginia City and Gold Hill. Mr. Loomis.
Mr. Chairman, Keith Loomis, District Attorney's Office. A little background on this particular item is that about a month ago, Mike asked me to come down to a meeting at Far West Engineering to discuss an issue regarding the sewer line. And I went down there for that meeting. It took a little while to find the place, since I hadn't been there before. But he said, look, what we need from you is an opinion saying that all the property under which the sewer lines are going to be located is held in good title by the county. And here's about 80 parcels in which we have questions on as to whether we have good title or not. And so the reason that Mike said that we like to bring you in the last minute on these kinds of things, and I think that's because he doesn't want me to screw it up too bad. But he goes, it just serendipitously, John Nelson was coming into the office to Far West that day to sign some other papers, and when he got there, he came in to talk to us and said, John, you know there's some title issues in Virginia City and Gold Hill. He goes, yes, I know. I go, well, how are we going to address those, John? And he gave us some ideas and some suggestions. And one of the things he suggested was a resolution from the board advising the rural development that, yes, the county intended to take whatever action might be necessary to ensure that we did have good title to the locations where the sewer line was going to be located. And so I took that to heart, and I prepared a resolution. And I got a call from the Office of General Counsel saying, look, one of the conditions we're going to impose on closing the transaction for the sale of the bond is that you're going to have a resolution from the Board of County Commissioners advising us that you're going to do what it takes to make sure they have good title. And so I prepared a resolution. I sent it to the Office of General Counsel. They looked it over. They've approved it. They're satisfied with the resolution. I've sent them some exceptions to the title report, basically along the lines of the questions of patent mining claims, the question of the town site map, and the question of surveying with the help of Jim Chapman, who was very helpful. And they have reviewed those exceptions from title, and they've approved those also. So what I'm asking today is for the board to consider approving this resolution so that we can take complete one of the conditions for closing that bond sale.
Very good. Any public comment regarding this? Commissioners, have any questions regarding the resolution?
Is it a title issue or just an easement issue?
Well, we basically have rights of way and easements where the sewer line is going to be located, but those do raise title issues.
Are we talking about somebody not having access to their property or?
Not at this point. It looks like the sewer lines have been in existence here in Virginia City since at least 1863. They've been set in the streets for the most part. I couldn't find anything earlier in 1888 as far as the sewer lines in Gold Hill, but there are certainly sewer lines in Gold Hill that have basically been in the same locations where they've been for years. And one of the things I'm saying in the resolution is, you know, these sewer lines have been here for 150 years, and to our knowledge, nobody's challenging them.
No real reason for anybody to challenge it. So, for sewer lines. Do we need to read the resolution into the record?
Yes.
I'll be happy to read it in.
Thank you.
This is resolution number 16-451. It's a resolution advising the Department of the Interior Rural Development, hereafter Rural Development, of county intent to obtain or defend title to any property in which sewer improvements financed by funds from rural development will be placed. Whereas Story County is proposing to issue a sewer revenue bond to be purchased by Rural Development for the purpose of financing improvements to the county's sewerage system located within the Gold Hill and Virginia City areas of Story County, and whereas the United States Department of Agriculture Rural Development is requesting an opinion of council that the rights of ways for the construction, operation, and maintenance of the facilities to be installed, repaired, or enlarged with the proceeds of a loan to be made or insured by and or a grant from Rural Development to Story County confer upon Story County the necessary rights of way for the construction, operation, and maintenance of the facilities in their present or proposed locations, and that the instruments conveying the rights of way give Story County a continuous and adequate right of way to permit the construction, operation, and maintenance of the county sewer facilities. And whereas there are a number of title issues extant in Virginia City due to such matters as fires, loss of original documents, inconsistent surveys, and other matters, and whereas there has continually been an operating sewer system in Virginia City and Gold Hill since prior to 1888 in much the same location as it exists today, and whereas there are no known challenges to any of the rights of way in which the sewer lines in Virginia City and Gold Hill are located, and whereas the United States Department of Agriculture Rural Development seeks assurances that Story County will defend its title to the rights of way under easements where the sewer lines are located or will be realigned in Virginia City and Gold Hill, or will take action to obtain clear title to the rights of ways and or easements where the sewer lines are located or will be located in Virginia City and Gold Hill. Now, therefore, is it hereby resolved as follows. The County of Story will make every effort to defend its title to the rights of ways and or easements where sewer lines are presently located or will be located by virtue of improvements proposed to be made to the sewer lines of Virginia City and Gold Hill. It is hereby further resolved, should it become necessary, the County of Story will take affirmative actions to obtain clear title to the rights of way and or easements where its sewer lines are located or will be located as a result of improvements proposed to be made to the sewer lines.
Thank you, Mr. Loomis. Once again, any public comment regarding this resolution? Hearing none, I'd like to get a motion for approval.
I move to approve resolutions 16-451. Advising Rural Development of the county's resolve to defend and or obtain county's rights of ways for its sewer lines in Virginia City and Gold Hill, and authorize the acting chair to sign.
I'll second.
It's been moved and second to approve resolution 16-451. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you for all your work on this, Mr. Loomis.
Thank you.
Moving along now to item number 13. This is discussion of possible action. Ordinance 16-273, authorizing the issuance of the Story County, Nevada Sewer Revenue Bond, Series 2016, in the principal sum of $4,058,000 to pay in part the cost to finance the Virginia City Sewer Improvement Project. Ms. Nevin.
Thank you, Commissioner McBride. Sherry Nevin for the record. You have the ordinance for consideration authorizing the issuance of this revenue bond as part of the USDA Virginia City Sewer Improvement Project. This ordinance is drafted for adoption in one reading pursuant to NRS 350-579 and must be approved by a vote of at least two-thirds of the County Commission. The ordinance will then need to be published twice by title after adoption, and the debenture must close by December 20th, 2016. This loan with USDA is for a period of 40 years. The loan amount, as you mentioned, is $4,058,000. Keep in mind, we also have a grant for $8 million, just short of $9 million on this project. So I have here with me today Kendra Follett with our bond counsel. If you have any technical questions, she'd be happy to answer those.
Can you look at me because you have a question?
No.
Oh, good to see you.
Just going to see what you're going to do next.
I'm going to see if there's any public comment next.
Okay.
Any public comment regarding this ordinance? Any questions for the commissioners? I think that sounds pretty routine. I think we've been through this a few times in the past. Yeah.
More to come, probably.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't have any questions. Thank you for attending today. I don't have any questions for you. If I can get a motion to approve this ordinance.
I move to approve the ordinance 16-273, authorizing the issuance of the Story County, Nevada Sewer Revenue Bond, Series 2016, in the principal amount of $4,058,000 to pay in part the cost to finance the Virginia City Sewer Improvement Project.
I'll second his motion.
We move in a second to approve ordinance 16-273. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously.
One small note to make. We are at a very low interest rate right now through December 31st. If that happens to drop after the first of the year, we may repeal this ordinance if we get a lower rate. There's no guarantees on that, but USDA has advised us.
And the rate right now is...
It's 1375. Yeah, so wow. Chances of getting something lower, I mean, it would be great if it happened.
Probably won't happen.
We just don't know. So if something changes,
you borrow money like that.
If we can get a lower interest rate, we will repeal this.
Sure. Okay. Thank you. All right. Moving up next, item number 14, discussion of possible action. Review and possibly approve the Story County audited financial statements draft and proposed changes for the year ending June 30th, 2016. Mr. Gallagher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Hugh Gallagher, Story County Comptroller. I was prepared to at least present you with the audited financial statements for the year ending June 30th, 2016. However, they are not ready. A couple of things that got in the way. Obviously, a massive GASB pronouncement that we have to book on our balance sheets, probably in the tune of somewhere between $13 and $15 million. That is still being calculated. There is some other things, including a GASB 77 pronouncement on abatements, which are being reviewed by our outside accountants. And a lot of it is a tremendous amount of work that has tried to happen in the last week, and the last weekend, unfortunately, it hasn't been done. I'm going to recommend that we move the review and possible approval to the first meeting in January. I don't anticipate the statements being much longer. However, the outside accountants, Pringle CPA, have said that they were not ready for today's presentation and will be ready hopefully within the next week.
Okay. So, you can look for a motion to continue this to January 3rd, 2017?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. And I might add, I'll inject some disappointment with our auditor, but also acknowledge that the two pending issues are significant, and the answers to those questions unfortunately lie outside the control of the county. They lie with actuarials. They lie with the Governor's Office of Economic Development. So we're making sure that we present, and Mr. Gallagher has advised me that the Department of Taxation has been noticed about the delay.
Yeah. Very good. Any public comment regarding this item? Hearing none, Commissioner, if I get a motion to continue this audited financials to January the 3rd of 2017?
Yes. I'll make a motion to move the draft of the Story County audited financial statements with approved changes for the year ending June 30th, 2016 to the January 3rd, 2017 meeting.
Second.
Moved and second. Continue this to January 3rd. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously.
Motion.
At this time, Keith Loomis is going to take over the agenda items since he was actually at the Planning Commission. Mr. Osborne, who is also at the Planning Commission, is not here today. So since Keith was there, he'll take over the agenda. There's also a question he needs to ask Mr. McGuffey. And Pat Whitten will do the introduction on the next item.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, and our DA has given a nice way of saying, please be patient with me. You guys actually know more on many of these than I do because you attended diligently the Planning Commission where you saw the process and the recommendations. And I will be deferring to Mr. Lewis on, Loomis on one or two issues. That said, before we begin, I would like to introduce the newest Story County employee, and that is Kathy Canfield. Kathy, you want to stand up and wave? Kathy is our new planner, taking Jason Van Havel's place, and today's her second day on the job. So we thought of sticking you with these five items, but that just didn't. Kathy has a very rich background. Working both in the private sector and also for regulatory agencies, and we're proud to have her on board.
Welcome aboard, Kathy.
Okay, good.
Are you ready to start?
Yeah, we're ready. Call number 15. Yes, sir.
Okay, well, is that for 15, Commissioner Gilman?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, NRS 2818.420 requires me to disclose a conflict of interest regarding this matter that is going to come before the Commission. It affects my pecuniary interest in the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. I believe it's a clear case of disqualifying conflict of interest for me. I'm going to be abstaining from voting or entering the discussion on the matter. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gilman. All right, this is item 15, discussion and possible action. The applicant requests a special use permit allowing the required 75-foot building and structural height limitation to be increased to 250 feet. And to exceed six stories, and for an extension of the allowed time frame of a special use permit on property located at the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, McCarran, Story County, Nevada, APN 005-011-13, 14, 28, 29, and 39, approximately at T19N, R23E, MDM. So, Mr. Whitten?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to be brief on this one because I think the circumstances, in fact, here are extremely clear, and this is something that we're going to heavily advocate for passage. As you know from attending the Planning Commission meetings, the property owner is the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. And one of the things we've learned probably over the past going on 20 years is that sometimes the industry evolves and changes faster than we can. Our current zoning ordinance requires a height maximum anywhere in the county of 75 feet. We learned with Tesla we came very close. We got to 72 or 73. This is to pre-position a specific property in hopes that having this pre-approved, that we'll be able to continue to be one step ahead of any other sites under consideration. And as you mentioned, Mr. Chairman, really we're looking at two exceptions only. One is exceeding that normal 75-foot height to a maximum of 250 feet. I might add, I don't know if we really anticipate that it's going to go that high, but we have encouraged the applicant. Mr. Sater is here representing TRI. We've encouraged the applicant to just take it out to any reasonable maximum so that we can provide for this on an expedited basis. So you're doing that. And additionally, as we learned from Tesla, acquisitions and projects take time. Our normal time for a special use permit before they need to begin constructive work is 1 year. That may not be the case in this, so again, we want to pre-position it for a total of 5 years and a maximum height of 250 feet. And if there are any questions, either Mr. Loomis, myself, or Mr. Sater are here to answer. Staff recommends approval, and if you agree, I'll read the findings of facts before you do.
Okay. Why don't we open it up and see if there's any public comment regarding this item. I don't see any out there. Any questions from you?
Yeah, of course, we were at the Planning Commission meeting, so we're quite knowledgeable about what's going on there. I guess the only question is the customer does understand they may have to provide the county with funding for means of fire suppression. Basically, like Tesla, you know, that we had to buy a 100-foot ladder truck. So I'm assuming that this customer would know that.
The owner, the applicant, has been made aware of that because that, again, is actually the requester of the transaction. So while I can't speak to the specific potential customer or customers because they are unknown to me at this stage, the applicant is well aware that anything in excess of 55 feet could require participation in the loan program we have with Tesla. That said, since we don't have an identified specific use, although I'm under the impression this isn't going to be a 250-foot skyscraper, there are other heights and uses that may not trigger that we'll work with both the current owner and any subsequent land purchase.
Yeah, like radio towers or whatever.
Exactly.
Like that, yeah.
And it was explained by Planning Director Osborne too that this is simply for these two conditions here, for the height of the building and the length of the special use permit to be granted. Whatever occupation of the building went in there would conform to whatever codes and zoning that's required in the industrial center.
And Commissioner McGuffey, to speak specifically to your question, in the recommended conditions for approval, should you choose to, condition 3 is under fire district requirements. The use on the subject property must comply with special requirements of Story County and the Story County Fire Protection District for accessing buildings and structures exceeding 55 feet in height, including requirements to mitigate financial and other impacts caused by the increased building and structure height. So that is a condition of approval.
Okay. So with that said, do you want to read the findings of fact?
For approval,
Mr. Chairman. Unless you have any problems with this?
No.
I don't either.
No problem.
Yes, sir. Motion for approval. The following findings of fact are evident with regard to the requested special use permit when the recommended conditions of approval in Section 4 recommended conditions of approval are applied. 1, the special use permit applies only to allowing increased height of the buildings and structures on the subject property and an extension of the time limit of the permit, and it is recognized that the use type on this subject land is a use allowed without a special use permit. 2, the special use permit conforms to the 2016 Story County Master Plan for the McCarran Planning Area in which the subject property is located. A discussion supporting this finding for the requirement for the special use is provided in section 2.4 of this staff report, and the contents thereof are cited in an approval of the special use permit. 3, because of the special circumstances applicable to the subject property, the strict application of the zoning ordinance would deprive privileges enjoyed by other properties in the vicinity or under identical zone classification. Granting of the special use permit is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of substantial property rights of the applicant. A discussion supporting this finding for the special use permit is provided in section 2.3 of the staff report, and the contents thereof are cited in an approval of the special use permit. 4, the special use permit will not impose substantial adverse impacts or safety hazards on the abutting properties or the surrounding area, and it will comply with all federal, state, and county regulations. 5, the conditions of the special use permit adequately address potential fire hazards and require compliance with all applicable fire codes, including setback and fire protection ratings. 6, the conditions under the special use permit do not conflict with the minimum requirements in 1999 Story County Code sections 17.62 special uses and 17.371(i)(2) heavy industrial, or the development agreement between Story County and the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. 7, granting of the special use permit will not, under the circumstances of the particular case, adversely affect to a material degree the health or safety of persons residing or working in the neighborhood or area of the subject property, and will not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to property improvements in the neighborhood or area of the subject property. Those are the findings of fact for approval.
Very good. Let's go. Ask if there's any public comment in regard to this. Hearing none. Commissioner McGuffin, might I get a motion? Motion, pardon?
In accordance with the recommendation by staff and the Planning Commission, the findings of fact under Section 3.1 of this report and other findings deemed appropriate by the Board and in compliance with the conditions of approval, I, Commissioner Jack McGuffey, make motion to approve special use permit number 2016-031, allowing the required 75 feet building and structure height limitation to be increased to 250 feet and to exceed 6 stories and for an extension of the allowance time frame of the special use permit on property located at the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, McCarran, Story County, Nevada, APNs number 05-011-13-14-28-29-39, approximately at T19 North and R23 East, MDM.
I'll second your motion. It's been moved in second to approve the special permit number 20016-031. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner. On to the next item, sir.
Right. Mr. Gilman, come back. All right, next up is item number 16, discussion and possible action. The applicant requests a special use permit allowing the construction and maintenance of an accessory dwelling, mother-in-law quarters, and primary occupancy of the accessory dwelling during construction of the principal dwelling primary residence at property located at 160 Vermillion Road, Highland Ranches, Story County, Nevada, APN 003-44215.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, I might add, this is a variance. I do want to point out, and I'm just pausing a little bit to double-check my facts. This is a special use permit, excuse me. So I will have findings of fact. Austin's annotations here, there are no differences at the time of the Planning Commission hearing that you all were able to sit in on. The only area to emphasize is staff is recommending approval up to a maximum of 1,000 square feet in square footage. And I'm not sure if the applicant's here or not. The applicant is here.
Yes, yeah. Mr. Singleton? Would you like to speak on this, Mr. Singleton?
Just quickly.
Come on up to the podium and then identify yourself for the record so that the clerk will get your name correct for the minutes.
For the record, my name's Kevin Singleton, and I own the property on 160 Vermillion. It's in the 10-acre Highlands. I just want to add the additional square footage. Obviously, I'm not here to forge a new trail. I'm trying to accommodate my elderly parents, my wife's elderly parents, a place to live quality. Austin pointed out to me something that we've done a little research on, that there is no option in Story County for assisted living currently. So, you know, I told my parents, or thought my whole life, is that I would take care of them as they took care of me. So, you know, we're arguing over 400 square feet. The basic logic to me, the building is the same size, regardless of whether it's a bedroom or a horse stall, the way it's designed. So I just feel, hey, 1,000 feet, I'll make it work, but maybe in the future, just some thought put into that needs to be bumped up a little bit to really, I could technically end up with four elderly adult parents living with me in this home. So that's it. That's all I wanted to add.
Okay. Thank you. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Commissioner McGuffey, that's your neighborhood.
So this has been amended to the 1,000-foot limitation.
That's staff's recommendation, Mr. Chairman.
Staff recommendation.
And I mind an acknowledgement of the applicant's suggestion that we look at it for future applications. Acknowledge that we certainly will. You know, one of the issues here is the property that you live in are one of two, excluding our industrial part, subject to CC&Rs through your homeowners association. So we kind of have to work in with what's common sense there as well.
So it's staff recommendation that it be approved. That's been presented with a 1,000 feet. I know that Mr. Singleton wanted to bump it up to 1,400 feet.
That's correct, Mr.
Although I'm sympathetic to what you're looking at out there. I know the consideration. The Planning Commission just spent 7 years overhauling the master plan, and pretty much all of these things have been taken into account. To go ahead and build another house on your property, it's going to accommodate more residents. It's not going to high density, but I think it's going beyond the density which has been the norm for the Highland Ranches out there. So it's, like I said, it's nothing that we can't look at in the future, but I think you're going to need to go to your homeowners association as well and talk to them to see if they're, you know, what they think about doing any increasing in the future. And if pretty much if all your neighbors agree with you that some changes should be made, then yeah, I think you have a strong point to come back to the Planning Commission and ask for them to review this.
Mr. Chairman, could I add one thing to that?
Yes.
The reason for the 1,000-foot limitation is because that's what it's set out in the code, the existing code. Mr. Singleton still has an option to come back with a request for a variance if he wants to vary from the 1,000-square-foot limit that exists for accessory dwelling.
And that process, Mr. Singleton, is much less cumbersome than the special use permit. So I think that's our legal staff's way of suggesting, if you're okay with it, we'll go with 1,000 now and then work with the HOAs. Obviously, Austin's a key driver of this, and he's got a conflict and can't be here today.
So, looking for a motion to approve the staff recommendation.
Okay, in accordance with the recommendation by staff and the Planning Commission, the findings of fact under Section 3.1.
Commissioner McGuffey, can I hold you up for
yes,
just a second?
Sir.
I think normal protocol is for me to read findings of facts in.
That's right.
No, okay.
Pardon me, that's my mistake. Yeah, you'd read the findings of fact for approval, please.
Yeah, it's the 1,000-foot cap.
The 1,000-foot cap.
Okay, the findings of facts are the following findings of fact are evident with regard to the requested variance when the recommended conditions of approval in Section 4 recommended conditions of approval are applied. One, the special use permit complies with all federal, state, and county regulations. Two, the special use permit will not impose substantial adverse impacts or safety hazards on the adjacent properties or the surrounding area. Three, the conditions of the special use permit adequately address potential fire hazards and require compliance with the applicable fire codes, including setback and fire protection ratings. 4, the conditions under the special use permit do not conflict with the minimum requirements in Story County Code 17.40, estate zone, and 17.03.150, special use permits, or any other federal, state, or county regulations, including building and fire codes. 5, the 2016 Story County Master Plan designates the Highland Ranches as a rural residential community with parcels no less than 10 acres. Master Plan Section 3.5.3, Goal 1, page 120, for the land uses in the Highlands states that the land use decisions, including the implementation of zoning and regulations in and around the Highlands area, must preserve the rural residential character of and conform to historic use patterns in the area. The accessory use for direct relatives of the accessory use for direct relatives of the subject property owners will not permanently increase the allowed density of or create a condition that is substantially different than that of the surrounding area. Additionally, the master plan encourages multi-generational housing for county residents and their aging family members in order to improve the quality of life for senior citizens in the county and to reduce the strain on local and regional senior citizen services. And I would draw your attention again to page 8 in your packet. I would draw your attention to page 10 in the packet, and the recommended motion to work from, should you choose to put, reflects the 1,000 square foot cap, is motion A.
Motion A. Now I'll ask for a motion, and the recommended motion A.
Okay.
Staff's recommendation.
Okay. In accordance with the recommendation by staff, the findings of fact under Section 3.1 of this report and other findings deemed appropriate by the Planning Commission and in compliance with the conditions of approval, I, Commissioner Jack McGuffey, recommend approval with conditions special use permit number 2016-027, allowing the construction and maintenance of an accessory building, mother-in-law quarters, the primary occupancy of accessory dwelling during construction of the principal dwelling, which would be the primary residence, at property located at 160 Vermilion Road, Highland Ranches, Story County, Nevada, APN number 003-442-15.
I'll second the motion.
Okay. A motion and a second to approve special use permit number 2016-027. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Right. Motion passes unanimously. Also, along these lines, it was brought to our attention within this application with some of the neighbors had sent letters in mentioning that there are other residences in the area who do have these mother-in-law quarters that are attached that are not in compliance and have been built without permits and things like that. So that's something that we need to look into as well. In the Highlands, because if they've done it, you know, on their own, there's a problem out there because you have someone who's going through the process, who you know, and wants to do things legally. Then you got the neighbor around the corner who is out of sight, it's out of mind, and he just goes ahead and does it. So anyway, we appreciate you going through the process and the way you have. Okay. Yeah, we do. Okay. All right, we're going to move along now to item number 17. This is discussion of possible action. The applicant requests a variance allowing the requested 10-foot side corner lot setback distance between the principal building and the property line to be reduced to up to 0 feet for the placement of a principal building expansion located at 106 East Carson Street, Virginia City, Story County, Nevada, APN 001.156.02. This is the expansion of the Story County Community Chest down next to the swimming pool, and is outlined in the probably in the staff report that the way the building would be situated is not going to encroach upon anybody because basically you've got roads on two of the sides, the existing building on one side and the baseball field on the other side. So Anyway, you want to take it from there?
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Staff is going to recommend approval consistent with the Planning Commission. I might add that Mr. Berger and Mr. Schillen are here. The project manager, Darren, and obviously Sean or Eric with Community Chest, should you have any questions. Actually, I want to point out, too, in humor and jest, that perhaps all three of you should recuse yourselves since actually Story County owns this property. But, you know, long story, a little bit short here. Community Chest has been a great partner with Phase 1 through heroic efforts. Phase 2 has now been funded, and these two gentlemen, along with Sean, are chomping at the bit to get going. I receive emails from Darren almost daily saying, you know, when are we good to go, when are we good to go? And this just simply takes on our parcel the ability to really maximum build out to the same level that we have to other adjoining streets. So staff's recommendation is to approve, and should you have any questions, please let me know. Otherwise, I'll read findings of facts when so directed.
Is there any public comment regarding this variance? Commissioners, have any questions regarding this?
So the plan is to open that pathway up to the baseball field behind on the west side of the building.
Right. Okay. It's going to be a nice addition, I think.
Great.
Okay. If you'll read the findings of fact for approval.
Okay. This would be a motion to approve. The following findings of fact are evident with regard to the requested variance and the recommended conditions of approval in Section 4. Recommended conditions of approval are applied. One, the variance conforms to the 2016 Story County Master Plan for the Comstock area and for the V&T Midtown specific planning area in which it is located. The use does not conflict with the budding Silver Star neighborhood specific planning area. The subject master plan goals and objectives are described in Section 2.4 of the staff report. Two, the variance will not impose substantial adverse impacts or safety hazards on the abutting properties or the surrounding area, and it will comply with all federal, state, and county regulations. Three, the conditions of the variance adequately address potential fire hazards and require compliance with the applicable fire codes, including setback and fire protection ratings. Four, the conditions under this variance do not conflict with the minimum requirements in Story County Code Sections 17.03, Administrative Provisions, 17.12, General Provisions, and 17.15P, Public Zone. Five, because of the special circumstances applicable to the subject property, including shape, size, topography, or location of surroundings, the strict application of the zoning ordinance would deprive the subject property of privileges enjoyed by other properties in the vicinity or under identical zone classification. Six, granting of the variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of substantial property rights of the applicant. Seven, granting of the variance will not, under the circumstances of the particular case, adversely affect to a material degree the health or safety of persons residing or working in the neighborhood of the subject property and will not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to property improvements in the neighborhood of the subject property. Those are the findings of facts for approval.
Very good. Once again, any public comment regarding this variance?
And your proposed motion
on 10?
Would be motion A on page 10.
Okay. In accordance with the recommendation by staff, the findings of fact under section 3.1 of this report and other findings deemed appropriate by the Planning Commission and in compliance with the conditions of approval, I, Commissioner Jack Guffey, recommend approval with conditions, variance number 2016-20-029, allowing the required 10-foot corner lot setback distance between the principal building and the property line to be reduced up to 0 feet for the replacement of a principal building expansion located at 106 East Carson Street, Virginia City, Story County, Nevada, APN number 001.156.02.
I second your motion.
Moved and second to approve variance number 2016-029. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. All right. Moving along now to item number 18, discussion of possible action. The applicant requests a variance to light emission shielding requirements in Story County Code 8.02, outdoor lighting, by allowing replacement of two exterior outdoor modern-type light fixtures with historically appropriate light fixtures to the front and north entrances of the Story County Courthouse.
All right,
and allowing an existing non-conforming but historically appropriate outdoor light fixture at the south entrance of the Story County Courthouse, located at 26 South B Street, Virginia City, Nevada.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, once again, this one's all ours. This is our property. You referenced the paint job on the courthouse, and I thought since we were going to be getting to this later in the day, although I had no idea I was going to staff it, I was going to tell you that we're not done. I'm not sure we're ever going to be done, to be honest with you, but this is the next step. You might notice on page 3, and this is the black and white rendering is not good, but on page 3, in both pictures that are depicted, you actually see the light as best you can from a 1930s to 1940 era picture. As you can see also on page... bear with me here for a minute. As you can see on page 4, particularly the one over the front portal or front door is would definitely be one of the two existing legally non-conforming lights. That thing is hideous. It never works. And we propose to go back to the old standard. CHD has approved this, and I believe State Historic Preservation Office has approved it as well. Thank you, Sherry. So we have all approvals necessary and recommendations from the Planning Commission, except for you, and hopefully that comes shortly. While we were at it, we thought, well, let's take a look at the north light as well. That's a pretty objectionable light. So this would actually take the same design, the same standards, and replace both those. Again, approved by CHD and approved by SHPO. And then the one we're going to leave is the one on the south that goes to the parking lot. That was integrated in and approved under a design that was done through Paul Ferrari on the snow gazebo or snow shed that we have shelter, and we'd like to leave that one the same. So if the commission's inclined to approve this, I will be happy to read findings and facts.
Before we do that, I omitted the last two sentences of this introduction. It was also the APN list 001-081-03. Subject light fixtures must comply with the Comstock Historic District and the Nevada State Historic Preservation Office requirements. So, as you mentioned it, but just to make sure that's in the record. So, this time, I'll ask if there's any public comment regarding the lighting, regarding the exterior of the courthouse. Hearing none, commissioners, do you have any questions for Pat?
So, is there any anticipated concerns about the neighbors across the street? Light, you know what I mean?
Yeah, if anything, I would tell you, I think this is going to be more directive and less annoying and obtrusive, especially on the east portal. I'm not aware of any notices or any objections to the Planning Commission or any other process.
Yeah, because on the front door, the east portal, that would be when that light did work or does work on occasion, it's very obnoxious there, the way it, the color of it is like a regular street lamp. So, there's no other concerns from the commissioners, unless for the findings of fact for approval.
Thank you, Mr. Okay. Chairman. Findings of facts, motion for approval. The following findings of fact are evident with regard to the requested variance when the recommended conditions of approval in section 6 recommended conditions of approval are applied. 1, office, retail, commercial, public, institutional, industrial, single-family, and multifamily buildings and their lighting are part of the overall image of the community. In all cases, these standards stress the importance of visually identifying and unifying the community character. Unnecessary and improper designed light fixtures cause glare or intense light that results in unnecessary brightness, a reduction of visual performance and visibility, light pollution, and wasted resources through additional expense for utility costs, hazardous conditions for all modes of transportation, and also affects the ability to view the night sky, including astronomical observations. The regulations of Story County Code 8.02 are intended to mitigate these conditions by regulations that require shielding, pointing lighting downward other than certain lighting allowed with a variance, and only using the amount of light that is necessary. This variance serves to conform as much as possible to the purpose and intent of this ordinance, while also conforming and preserving the historical integrity of the Story County Courthouse. Two, the variance complies with all federal, state, and county regulations, including the approval of the Comstock Historic District, as evidenced by the Certificate of Architectural and Historic Approval granted thereby. Three, because the Story County Courthouse is listed in the National Register of Historic Places, and because the exterior architectural design and preservation is under the jurisdiction of the Comstock Historic District Commission and the Nevada State Historic Preservation Office, the strict application of the Story County Code 08.02 outdoor lighting requirements would potentially not conform to Nevada revised statutes regulating historic buildings in the Comstock Historic District and would potentially degrade the historic value and the authenticity of the building and the enjoyment thereof by visitors, residents, and scholars. Four, the variance takes into consideration and incorporates provisions of Story County Code 08.02 Dark Skies to reduce the light emission impacts on adjacent users while maintaining the historical authenticity in accordance with Comstock Historic District requirements. Five, the conditions under this variance do not conflict with the minimum requirements in Story County Code Section 17.03 Administrative Provisions, 17.12 General Provisions, and 17.30 CR Commercial Residential Zone, or any other federal, state, or county regulations, including building and fire codes. And six, granting of the variance will not, under the circumstances of the particular case, adversely affect to a material degree the health or safety of the persons residing or working in the neighborhood of the subject property and will not materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to property improvements in the neighborhood of the subject property. Those are your findings of fact for approval.
Great.
And your motion to approve, if approved, appears on page 10, item A.
All right. Once again, any public comment? Mr. Miller.
Yes. John Miller.
What kind of bulb system you use? Incandescent, LEDs, mercury, titanium, neon?
I don't know.
Fluorescent?
With John, I can get an answer for that. Jason, do you have any clue on this one? Yeah, I'm not sure. I'd be happy to get you that answer and get back
to you.
We're
not going to see the bulb itself because of the way the design of the fixture is.
But when you go for lighting, your LED will give you the brightest light with the less glare. As of right now, and lowest cost.
Yeah, I'm cautious not to state anything I don't know, John. I know we always look for LED. LEDs sometimes are a great solution. Sometimes they're the bane of it all because
Correct.
You can't get enough brightness. But I know. Okay. Hang on. Thank you. The light-emitting device, e.g. light bulb, this is in the conditions, excuse me. The light-emitting device, e.g. light bulb, within the light fixture shall not exceed 3,000 lumens, equivalent to 200-watt incandescent bulbs, unless a shield is placed thereon, preventing light trespass into the eastern abutting properties as limited by Story County Code 08.02 outdoor lighting. So we'd be looking for any equivalent of 200 watts that we can get.
Oh, mercury or something like that, yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Miller.
Thank you.
Any other public comment? Hearing none. If I get a motion for approval, the staff's recommendation was item A on page 10.
In accordance with the recommendation by staff, the findings of fact under section 3.1 of this report, the approval by the Comstock Historic District and the Nevada State Historic Preservation Office and other findings deemed appropriate by staff and in compliance with the conditions of approval. I, Commissioner Jack McGuffey, recommend the approval with conditions variance number 2016-028, a variance to light emission shielding requirements of Story County Code 8.02 outdoor lighting by allowing replacement of two existing outdoor modern type light fixtures with historically appropriate light fixtures to the front and north entrances of the Story County Courthouse. and allowing an existing nonconforming but historically appropriate outdoor light fixture at the south entrance of the Story County Courthouse, located at 26 South B Street, Virginia City, Nevada, APN 001.081.03. This motion recognizes that the subject light fixtures must comply with Comstock Historic District and the Nevada State Historic Preservation Office requirements.
I'll second the motion.
Very good. It's been moved and seconded to approve variance number 2016-028. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Very good. Moving along now. It's number 19.
Yes, sir.
Discussion of possible action. The applicant requests a special use permit allowing for a single-family dwelling combined with a non-dwelling use, in parentheses, combined residence, hyphen bar, parentheses, that will separately house humans, animals, and agriculture equipment. B, the maintenance is up to 80 large domestic animals and various accessory structures for sheltering, feeding, watering, protecting, and servicing the animal, and C, a temporary, in parentheses, up to 1 year occupancy, watchman's travel trailer on property located at 199 Scales Road, American Flat, Story County, Nevada, APN 004.331.40, 004.331.08, and
004.331.22.
Mr.
Whitman. Okay, this one will be one where I will tag team with Mr. Loomis. This, I believe, both the applicant, Ms. Summers, and also a representative from the property owner, Comstock Mining, LLC, are present. We can go a couple of ways. I want to first draw everyone's attention to the fact, as I mentioned earlier, before we kicked off the planning section, that there is a staff report addendum that was recently generated and provided on the back table for anybody that wanted to see it. That is going to be the working document that I will be working from. I would draw your attention first to that addendum and simply say the areas that are in bold print are the areas that I've been asked by our planning director, Mr. Osborne, to make sure we emphasize that what staff's recommendation is, as well as the planning commission. That said, also, I have an email received at 11:24 this morning from a Susan Kaufman. It's about a page and a half, and she asked it to be read into the record. As you know, it's about just a little over a page, actually, to speak more accurately. But she wanted it to be read into the record pertinent to this. I will provide it into the record, but as you know, our recommendations on lengthy last-minute items are typically not to read it verbatim into the record, but it will be made a part of the record. The essence of Ms. Kaufman's email is to say she would like her comments in support of Horsepower and Sally Summers to be heard, although I am unable to get to your meeting in person today. So you can consider it a statement of support from Ms. Kaufman, who is a resident of the Highlands, residing on Castle Peak Road. So I will defer to whether or not you would like the applicant to present first, and then Mr. Loomis and I can discuss the fundamental changes and positions that the planning director recommends. If you prefer that, I think that's what I would like to see. But with the applicant, Ms. Summers, go ahead and make her presentation.
Absolutely, yeah. Ms. Summers, would you like to come up? Mr. Joe Clever?
Could I speak first as the property owner?
Sure.
The issue that I'm on.
Go right ahead. Sure. And then you can come sit up here, Ms. Summers, because you're going to be going next.
Scott Jolkover, as representative for the property owner. I attended the Planning Commission meeting where this item was approved by the Planning Commission. I don't remember exactly what the vote was. There was one abstention. And the Commission directed Austin to put what you have before you in Addendum D as the landlord. I just want to say that I have no issues with any of these recommendations. The only thing that I would like to speak to is item 11, public access ways, because I, as most of you know, for 27 years, am an extremely strong property rights guy. And I errantly told Ms. Summers to put the gate up on the road that I believe is private property. I'm going to go forward with an assumption that it may not be, because Lord knows I've been wrong before, but I've been right before too. And I'm sure that I can work with the district attorney's office, come to a resolution on the road, but irrespective of it, there is no intent to keep the public off the road. And to that end, because there is an unlocked gate there, because it is winter, because the project started off on the right foot, went immediately on the wrong foot, did receive a red tag, it would be extremely difficult right now with the frozen conditions to realign all the fencing to be able to remove and regate it. So I would simply ask for the mercy of the commission to allow 6 months to accomplish that feat. And when Ms. Summers comes back before you, should this be approved, in the April review meeting, she could give a status on where that's at in repositioning the fencing on the property so that there won't be a question. We'll have resolved whether it is public or not prior to that, but with the intent that the fencing and the gate are going to be moved anyway. So that's really my only comment. Yeah. And there are two other accesses that exist in the area on roadways to get to the same spots. And I apologize.
Hold on for questions.
I guess my questions are, Scott, for years, and I look out in the audience and I picture others that I know aren't here. These areas have been heavily accessed, particularly with people with either rangers or any of those for public. 6 months is still a long time to deny locals access to a road. You know, and again, I'm operating under the assumption that we do find it to be public, which I'll defer to Mr. Loomis on. But it certainly can't be argued that that area has been openly accessible, you know, to a number of folks, both from the Virginia City, Gold Hill, Silver City area, as well as from the outlying public. It's just well known how many people come over Jumbo Grade or over Grade after time to enjoy it. My question is, you know, your reference to alternate means and, you know, are pretty lengthy. I mean, you're talking about coming in, I believe, from the Carson side on one of those.
No, not at all.
Okay.
I have the map, and I'm happy to share it with you. And it's not to deny access. It's to allow the gate to remain unlocked until such time as it can be resolved and the fencing realigned.
So if I was on a quad tomorrow, I can ride out there, open the gate.
Absolutely.
And theoretically close the gate.
Absolutely. Right. Right. And you're not bound to close it. Okay. It's a recommendation, but not you're not, as a public citizen, bound to do that.
Any questions?
I guess my question would be more to Mr. Loomis. It's like, it's a public road, and you can't impede traffic in any way. That's an NRS statute. We would typically then be in violation of this NRS statute. Am I correct?
Well, the issue that came up with the Planning Commission was whether or not it was actually a public road. Since that time, we've developed additional information which shows that there are two dedicated easements out there in the location of dedicating Scales Road to Story County in one case and to Lyon County in another, but that increases the likelihood that it is ultimately going to be considered a public road. And the statutes under Chapter 405 prohibit obstructing a public roadway with the threat of criminal prosecution. I mean, it's a misdemeanor, essentially. But That's the status of things.
And to that end, with no disrespect, we need to determine, because just because we say there's a easement or a right-of-way or whatever for Story County, we need to see exactly what that is. I can't sit here, and maybe Keith knows because I surely don't, and say, well, yes, but that easement is from SR 342 on the north end to the well. I don't know. Maybe Keith knows. So are you saying that it starts up at the top end on the Mound House side on the Lyon County line and then comes down through? Or was that side just for Lyon County, which has now abandoned that because they abandoned the wells and the property? So I think we just need to figure out what it is. And all I'm asking is, while that's figured out, and because no work could be done out there while it was red tagged, and now we're in the winter, I don't believe, you know, we talk, you know, how good we are at collaboration, and I don't believe that the board is interested in putting an undue hardship on the property owner or the tenant or the animals. And by the same token, we're not trying to deny access to the public, which has access on roads, on a road system around it, and access through it by simply going through the gate. I'm not sure that, you know, stuff like this doesn't exist in other places in the county. That's all. Just a period of time. If you think 6 months is too long, you know, when's it start getting warm? April? There's an update on the hearing in April. And I know, because I'm out there every single day, the traffic in the flats is nowhere what it was when the American Flat Mill was there. Not even a candle. The drug dealers are gone. The illegal arms sales are gone. We do see more frequent patrol by the Sheriff's Department. And there's only one other private property owner out there, Jay Reed, who has property that I had originally sold to Leaf. And Jay's an employee. And nobody came to the Planning Commission and protested anything. Thank you.
Two points to be made, Scott. Is, first of all, maybe that determination should have been done first before the gate was erected.
I don't disagree.
And second of all, I mean, Commissioner McGuffey was asking, you know, District Attorney Loomis, if we allow this to continue, are we in violation of NRS ourselves by letting keep the gate up that goes ahead and blocks access, whether the gate can be opened or not? So, is there a legal question here?
And before you answer that one, I'd ask again, you know, given the significant difference of opinion, you know, on that public road while it's being determined, has the applicant or have you looked at alternative means and methods to go ahead and resolve this without the gate? I mean, I have no idea. I defer to the wild horse people, the advocates of the world. I don't know if a wider cattle guard, you know, can detract these horses as well as cattle. I'm not an expert by far. But I would think that there should be other alternative means and methods to find a way to skin the cat and not at all impede traffic.
Thank you, Mr. Joker. All right. Ms. Summers, come on up. To the podium, identify yourself for the record, please.
For the record, I'm Sally Summers. And I suppose you'd want to ask questions first. I'm rather new at this, so forgive my ignorance.
Well, I guess I'll ask you, have you read the staff report?
Yes, then? I just moments ago was able
all right.
to.
So you've talked to Austin Osborne about this since the Planning Commission meeting last Thursday evening?
Very briefly, we've exchanged a text or two. But I, in reviewing what I did quickly, I'm willing to abide with all of the new requirements. But I do ask for an extension. The road that we're talking about, I originally assumed that it was private, and the gates were put up to keep the feral stallions away from our hay and away from our horses. And we also didn't want to be harassed, because as in training with the horses, the road is a perfect place to use for long stretches and exercise for the animals as well, and for hay delivery. Now, if we got 6 months, we could reconfigure the road to outside the fence line, and it's done. So that's something we have to look at. We hadn't considered because we thought it was private.
And what's the purpose of having the horses?
These horses were saved from going to slaughter. Were saved from an ugly fate.
I'm not aware of any slaughter program with the Nevada Department of Agriculture or the BLM.
Okay. Well, there is no slaughter program with them, but there are killer buyers that buy horses for meat in Fallon, and it happens on a regular basis, and it's been a long-time fight.
Are these poachers? Because it's my understanding that's an illegal activity.
It is illegal.
Okay.
Yes, absolutely. And it continues. And it's in all the states. It's illegal in California, but there are killer buyers there as well. A number of the horses were dumped on us when we thought we were helping. And when we turned to get help from the individuals, they turned their back on us. So we are at the point of training and rehoming animals into better homes. We have a few old horses that are at the end of their life, and we're just giving them a good place to lay down and die.
So you guys rescue horses?
Not really. No. Horsepower is a nonprofit organization that handles the license plate for the state of Nevada. Our horses are all Nevada horses from all corners of the state.
Well, where do they come from?
Well, Little Oahe. We have burros from Johnny, Nevada.
Do you have other organizations that bring you these horses? Or?
Well, we had been helping other organizations that were closing, but because of the financial stress, we're to capacity at this point, and able to feed and maintain the ones that we do. We use weed-free hay so that we buy the best possible food that we can for them, because in the long run, it costs less for any for vet bills, so to speak. We've developed other programs for other horses in the vicinity. One is the Exceptional Care Program, who Susan Kaufman is a recipient of. We have a Virginia range stallion we've been taking care of for a year. Well, we've been feeding the old stallion for a while. Otherwise, he would have been destroyed. And we have been helping the Virginia range horses for a long time.
So you have horses in your facility right now?
Yes.
Okay, and so you say you keep a gate up to keep the stallions. Wouldn't you want horses to come in there to come for the feeds? Or you'd have
no, that's against the law.
Oh.
None of the water has been fenced out. We've maintained all their water sources open. So, we're abiding by every law that we can. And if a new one pops up we're not aware of, we need to change something.
Okay, so you don't have any working arrangements with the Department of Ag or the BLM to take on horses?
No, we're not part of that MOU. Right. We're a charitable organization. We help small rescues, mom-pa rescues that have been rescuing horses for 2 years or more. We develop new programs when we see a need in the state of Nevada that needs attention. We have a program called Return to Sender for people that have older animals that might be suffering, and we put them out of their misery and help the people. Because some of these horses are 30 years old. They taught their grandkids how to ride, and they can't part with them. So we developed a program to help in that endeavor as well. We would like to at some point offer horses for therapy programs that are up and around the state that might fit their needs.
So in your opening statement, I think you said you're willing to comply with,
yes.
With these.
All I'm asking for is some time so we can reconfigure the fence line or move the road. And if we move the road, that's going to take some time.
I think we're going to have to get a legal opinion from the district attorney on whether they can stay there or not. In violation of NRS, I don't want to make a mistake. When Mr. Joe covers opening statements, he said that, you know, nothing had been done once you got red tagged. It's my understanding, and this is what disturbs me, is that the construction continued on there after you'd received a red tag.
No, the fence is not done.
The buildings?
The buildings are shelters that were already pre-existent.
But that work continued on after you were red tagged?
The animals, well, it was in the process, okay, and we have animals that require shelter. It would
but
be
you understand what red tag means?
Well, I do now. I didn't then.
You didn't know that means stop?
Well, we did. We did not put up any further fence. And we did, you know, we did nothing else. We stopped. And that's why, then that's the reason for having a watch person there, is to keep the wild horses out of there.
Okay, now that contradicts what's been told to me by staff, is that work continued on there after the red tag
position. We installed the shelters, that they are not permanent. They don't require a building permit. They are simply for shelter for the animals, especially the older ones, to keep them out of the wind and the cold. So they were already pre-existing.
I understand that, but stop means stop. That means...
Well, I thought it meant building permits that were needed. And we did buy a building permit for a telephone pole that was already there in order to put power up. So, I mean, we've, at every turn in the road, we have complied. You know, and we did stop the fence line. It's incomplete. And the only thing that really is keeping the stallions away from us right at this point is that gate, because they like to congregate on roads, and it would be easy access for them to get into our hay. We spend over $1,000 a month on hay. Excuse me, make that $1,000 a week. Maybe that was wrong.
Any questions for Mr. Summers?
Did I understand that you have read staff's report here today, although quickly, and you are agreeing to comply with the conditions contained in that report?
Yes.
With the exception of the public access, and you are asking here today for an extension of time whereby you may leave the gate closed for a period of time while you realign the fence or come to a conclusion on the on whether the right-of-way is public or private.
Or move the road, yes, sir.
Or move what you would be undertaking.
Yes.
So that's what you're asking this body to do. You're prepared to approve all of these conditions by staff and are asking for a time leniency on the gate. And as you understand, we've discussed today, that may or may not be possible for us. If it's a violation, then we can't approve something that is patently illegal.
And the gate not locked.
The gate is not locked, and we
have
been in discussion with...
I believe that the regulations say you may not put up a gate such a right-of-way or such a public access. Am I correct on that, Keith?
It prohibits any type of obstruction of a public road.
Okay, so it's
which
not
would include a gate.
Which would include a gate.
But it is movable. And one of the things that I, when this first appeared, I called the brand inspector for the Department of Ag. And he said, you know, this is on large ranches a normal thing. And actually they have signs that say, you know, please keep all gates closed. There's livestock out there. And you go in, you open the gate, you close the gate behind you. And even for hunters, it's been made available. And it's all throughout Nevada on roads that are public.
I recall at the Planning Commission that I believe it was Virgil suggested that you might look at putting in a substantial cattle guard in place of the gate.
I have contacted the people that I know that might have them and am waiting to hear back. So I'm looking for two.
I believe a cattle guard, Keith, would I be correct, that would not be an obstruction?
I don't think that would constitute an obstruction, no.
Is there an avenue for them to address, go to the state for a permit or something of that nature?
It's a county road. I don't think the state would have authority to say, yes, you can block it. I mean, that still remains to be seen whether it's a county road or not, but if it's anything, it's a county road, not a state road.
Right.
I personally don't.
I'm thinking of the internet statute. Is there a way you can, they could go to the state and ask for a temporary permit or something of that nature?
There may be. I'm not aware of what it might be.
Yeah.
I would be happy.
I don't see this body making a decision to perhaps violate a regulatory environment. So
okay, well,
that would leave the county at risk. And so I think perhaps coming up with an alternative solution, such as a cattle guard, could be a fast.
Absolutely.
I've installed many.
And, oh, good.
And we're installing
and your
them
is...
today, as a matter of fact. So
right.
They're readily available. And
well, the cost is, you know, with the fence line, it's not cheap. And so we're looking at cost, and we're looking for used ones, which would be significantly cheaper. And I've heard of two being available in another county, and I've got some questions being asked down there, so down south. But, you know, we just need to keep the hay secure, because what will occur? And this could be a possible danger for the wild ones that are out there. If they get into our hay, they could get, you know, they could overeat, they could colic, and we wouldn't want that to happen either. We do have it fenced off. We do have it tarped. It's orchard. It's the best quality. I have a letter submitted by Jim Benson from Benson's Feed. So this is really a protection more than anything else for all of the animals as well. And I don't have any problem with finding the cattle guards and getting that done, but it's not going to... I don't have those in my pocket, so it's going to take a while, maybe a couple of months, and I'd be happy to do the boot work to go to the state to see if there is, you know, something. They have a couple of them sitting somewhere. I also contacted the brand inspector, Department of Ag, and let him know I am looking. Oh, I've done everything possible. There are, because it's a movable gate. It's not a solid piece of material that will stop people from using the road. I think that should be brought into consideration as well. And they've never been locked.
The thought that I'll give you on the cattle guards is today the state is building about 18 miles of four-lane highway through what we call the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center
right.
area of Story County. And they are installing today, and they are in the ground today, multiple cattle guard crossings. They're fencing the entire right-of-way of the roadway on both sides, but they are allowing for ingress and egress to the various parcels, and they do so across these cattle guards, which are specifically identified as managing the wild horse population.
Are these
out there?
Are
and
these,
so they work. I've seen them. They're installed today.
Is that NDOT?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Go right ahead.
Again, I may have done a disservice in my opening remarks, drawing your attention to the bold areas of this. You need to also keep in mind, we all need to also keep in mind, the standing areas as they came out of the Planning Commission process, which, as we know, is truly a phenomenal, incredible due diligence side of our house in terms of vetting these. And if you look at Section 11 and only look at the bold, as I suggested to you, you miss the first sentence of the word that came out of Planning Commission. All public right-of-ways, including but not limited to Scales Road and access easements, must remain open to the public and not be gated, fenced, barricaded, or otherwise made to be inaccessible to the public. A gate's a gate. I mean, that's a layman's interpretation. I'm not a lawyer, but it specifically came out of Planning Commission that it's not to be gated. And I might suggest to you, with all due respect, we've spent time today talking about 19 different commissioners that Mike has worked with and all that. Certainly in the tenure of not only this board, but other boards as well, to alter the recommendation of the Planning Commission, particularly without the planning director here, I think is treacherous slope. I'm not saying you can't. You certainly have the legal authority to do it. But I would suggest that unless Ms. Summers is willing to accept every item in here as it came from the Planning Commission and as it is addendum, then your choice that Ms. Summers wouldn't want would be to deny it, because then the applicant can't reapply for a period of 12 months. Or perhaps the best suggestion is to remand this back to the Planning Commission if she's not willing to accept every condition as outlined.
Well, the gates are removable, and we certainly could do that. But then again, we're going to have wild horses in there, which...
Can't you just fence off your hay?
Oh, no. Yeah. Well, we have... Yeah, you can. But the problem is the wild horses, the stallions in particular, would cause havoc with our horses, who are in pipe corrals inside of the fenced area. It's a perimeter fence intended to keep our animals safe and to keep the stallions away, so there's no injury to either side. So the hay has been placed rather in the center to, you know, keep it as far away as possible. But what that would do would be allow the horses to kind of come on in and get a mouthful, and before you know it, we'd be feeding all of the animals, which is breaking the law as well. You're not allowed to feed those horses. It's called harassment.
I don't think I understand why you can't put a fence around your hay, because obviously the hay has to be fed to these horses on a daily basis.
Right, but it's not just the hay. And, you know, well, we can take the gates off, but the consequences of that is what I'm talking about now. Well, they're removable.
All right, here's where we have an option. We can go ahead, and I'll recommend to the board that we approve staff report as it is, as it's been amended. Or, if you want, we can continue this, and you can go back to the Planning Commission and try to work things differently with those guys.
Well, we're at a point where our animals are fostered in other areas, all right? So we want to continue to get this done, because it's time-consuming, and it takes a lot of gas to get them taken care of. We'd like to bring them all on. We'll take the gates off while we don't have any mares there, and what happens, happens. What we were considering is moving the road, too, which is also an option.
If I may again, you know, you mentioned your time consumed. I have never seen an item that has consumed so much staff and public airtime as this. I mean, if you look at this, you know, we're talking about X number of acres for a horse sanctuary, great cause. Don't take dispute with that. We took significantly less time on a 250-foot tall structure in this county today. I think the options are very simple. One, either accept every condition, which means no gate. Two, you could consider to remand it, but that's going to consume more time. Or three, deny it as presented as not acceptable to the applicant.
And originally, you know, my thought is, yes, we accept it all. We just need a little time to finish at least the interior fence line, so the wild ones aren't on top of our horses and there's no injury to them, and we aren't breaking the law by allowing them to eat, because Nevada is a fence out state. That is a requirement.
But you're still asking the county to break the law.
Well, you know, there are provisions.
Show us those provisions.
Well, there's other NRS codes in there that allow for this, that aren't, right?
I'm sure.
There is no provision in the statute that specifically authorizes putting a gate across a public road.
Uh-huh. But that's assuming it's a public road. We haven't established that yet.
Right.
Okay, so it's the minute that's established.
I think we have to establish that it's not a public road, not that it is a public road.
Thank you. I like that.
I think you're going to have to come up and find out. You're going to have to do your research to find out that it's a private road. It's not up to us. It's not up to us to do diligence. This road's been open for 100-something years.
Uh-huh.
So it's not up to us to prove that it's a public road.
Oh, okay. All right. I understand. Well, yeah, we can take the gates off.
I don't see you have any choice until you either find out that we're wrong and it's a private road, or other accommodations are made by moving the fence. Moving the road.
So if I may, for clarification, if the board moves forward with a motion to approve the conditions as is, Ms. Summers needs to immediately remove the gate and then just fence or do whatever you can as fast as possible to keep other elements out.
That would be the position of staff recommendation.
Absolutely.
If she's willing to accept that.
I think that's where it's coming from, the legal counsel.
Okay.
The other option is for us to remand this back to the Planning Commission and go back and fight another battle with those guys.
I'm on a time schedule, and we've already, I mean, I know I've wasted your time here today, and I apologize.
No, we don't find it to be a waste.
But we also have financial obligations and processes that we have to go through to continue with what we're doing.
We got to move on.
And I think we should, though. I know we have to move on to Mr. Duffy, but yeah. I think it's important for this applicant who doesn't understand the meaning of a red tag that we clearly outline that a special use permit has very strict, tightly written provisions, and should any compliance person, whether it be in a planning department, building department, sheriff's office, or anything, if they come out there and find that gate in a day, a week, a month, then there are provisions legally for us to issue show cause why you should not have it revoked.
Right.
I mean, the message here is loud and clear, I think, from hopefully the commission, definitely from staff. We can't approve with a gate at this point.
Well, I will have the gates removed before I get there.
Okay. Anything else?
No, sir.
All right, then, commissioners, I'm going to look for a motion to go ahead and...
findings of fact, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, sorry. All right. I'm going to have him do the findings of fact first, and then we'll all come back and look for a motion.
Sure. Okay, and this would, just to be clear, this is motion for approval as outlined in the staff addendum report published today.
Right.
Okay. The following findings of fact are evident with regard to the requested variance when the recommended conditions of approval in Section 5, recommended conditions of approval, are applied. One, the special use permit does not conflict with the provisions of the 2016 Story County Master Plan, including the goals and objectives listed in Chapter 3, Land Use, and Chapter 11, Cultural and Historic Resources, including as related for the maintenance of an orderly, efficient, and sustainable development compatibly between existing and future uses, the advancement and diversity of the local economy from tourism and other sources, and for the preservation of historic and cultural resources for the subject area. Two, the special use permit will not impose substantial adverse impacts or safety hazards on the adjacent properties or surrounding area. Three, the conditions of the special use permit adequately address potential structure and wildland fire hazards and require compliance with all applicable fire codes, including setback and fire protection ratings. And four, the conditions of special use permit do not conflict with the minimum requirements in Story County Code 17.32F Forestry Zone or any other federal, state, or county regulations, including building and fire codes. And I might go off the page a minute again to emphasize for the record that statement about state codes in particular or state laws in particular at this point should be presumed that it applies to the gate. So your condition would outline all conditions, including the one in Section 11 that suggests no gate, no barriers.
Very good. So proposed motion is that correct?
Yeah. That would, you know, let me get there.
Page 18. No, we're done.
Okay. Good timing.
Is it in the agenda?
That's why I'm making sure it's not. Okay. Your proposed motion would be on page 18 of your packet, item 6A. Wait a minute.
Are the proposed motions in the agenda?
It is? Okay, excuse me.
On the second page.
The second page. Okay.
I apologize.
Okay, we got it. Excuse me. See it, Jack? Top of the second page. On the agenda? Yeah, there it is.
Yeah. Okay.
In accordance with the recommendation by staff, the findings of fact under Section 3.1 of Staff Report Number 2016-030 and other findings deemed appropriate by the Planning Commission and in compliance with the conditions of approval as amended pursuant to Staff Report Addendum Number 2016-030 Hi, Commissioner Jack McGuffey. Motion to approve the stated conditions, special use permit number 2016-030, allowing a single-family dwelling combined with a non-dwelling used or use combined residence barn that will separately house humans, animals, and agricultural equipment. B, the maintenance of up to 80 large domestic animals and various accessory structures for sheltering, feeding, watering, protecting, and servicing the animals. And C, for a temporary up to 1 year occupancy watchman's travel trailer on property located at 199 Scales Road, American Flat, Story County, Nevada, APN number 004.331.40,
004.331.08,
and 004.331.22. I'll second your motion. Moved and second to approve the special use permit number 2016-030. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Good luck to you. Moving along now to item number 20, this is discussion and possible action, licensing board second readings.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On behalf of Dean Haymore and Story County Community Development, staff is recommending approval of items A through K as they appear on your agenda, and I will read those specifically. Tools and Technology by Burns, LLC, Bureau Veritas North America, Inc., Hess Mechatronics, Inc., Advent Technologies, Inc., Doug Wall Construction, Inc., F&M Mathco, Inc., Reno Carson Home Services, People Ready, Inc., Kenyon's Corporation of America, Chewy, Inc., SSUSA West, LLC, all to be approved.
All right. Any public comment regarding the business of these licensing second reads? Hearing none, looking for a motion to approve items A through K.
I'll make a motion to approve items A through K.
I'll second it.
Moved and second to approve items A through K. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously.
And Community Development requests that you continue item L, Aqua Metals Reno Inc., while we continue to go through the inspections and finalization of the construction on the project.
All right. Any public comment regarding this item? Hearing none, look for a motion to continue item L, Aqua Metals.
I'll make a motion to continue item L.
Second.
Moved and second to continue item L. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Okay, item number 21, correspondence. Two items there.
Mr. Chairman, I usually don't necessarily comment on correspondence, but I do want to today. You have Chief Haymes and the Story County Fire Protection District's monthly dashboard, if you will, or report. And again, one item to keep a close eye is in the left-hand column right about in the middle, where we have North County monthly auto aid to Truckee Meadows. That's a very substantial number out there. That was the requirement that we agreed to in our agreement with Washoe County when we acquired the 600 acres that had previously been in their county. So you can see we're living up to our end of the bargain with 22 mutual aid calls to Truckee Meadows Fire, and then the district calls total out there 46, so 68, and that very active station. Very, very active station. The one I really want to draw your attention to, especially today, since it's been presented to the commissioners at a previous meeting, is we continue to work closely with Mitch Andrini and the Canyon GID in terms of monitoring water quality concerns that have been voiced by a number of patrons out there. I think you can see in my letter, hopefully it's clear enough for me, and the results get kind of mind-boggling. I will just tell you I've learned more about coliform, E. coli, and iron and manganese in the past month or so than I ever thought possible. At this stage, based on the, I think there were six sites that we tested. Of the six, there were no issues at all with coliform or E. coli positive findings. These are essentially pass-fail findings. If you got any, you're not good, and you're going to start going down the path of boil water or bottled water or those types of things. And there were no traces of that in any of the six tests. We then also had it tested for iron and manganese. And I might mention these two components do not constitute a health risk. From what I am told, they constitute either aesthetic or cosmetic issues. Dirty looking water, could be smelly water, could be those types of things, but they do not pose a health hazard. Five of the six sites tested below levels and in some cases had no traces for iron and manganese. The sixth site was actually our own fire station 74. We knew about that. We didn't know the actual test results, but we've been watching our water out there. This building was built by the state of Nevada, I believe, back in 1970 or something. And, you know, it's old, and its pipes are probably a problem. We've been filtering our water that's used for consumption, cooking, and those types of things for quite some time. We probably will be, Chief Hayes and I are looking at going to a whole house system, if you will, of filtering. But we're comfortable with the fact that the issues are within our walls and our dirt and are not the Canyon GID. A newly incoming GID board member has requested four additional tap tests. And again, the county has no jurisdiction over anything with the GID, but we've agreed at Commissioner Gilman's urging and the GID's cooperation that we will do everything we can to kind of be that independent big brother, if you will. We took the new incoming GID board member has asked us to test four more, which we're queuing up right now with Jason and Public Works. We'll go out there and do a test, and we'll get results back. And then I believe she is prepared to go ahead and be a public front, if you will, for, you know, hopefully the true independently assessed facts. So. Stay tuned. And I would, honestly, right now, I'd go out to any one of these locations and have a glass of water. I mean, that's the best I can tell you.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Any public comment? Hearing none, meeting's adjourned.